T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
There are few people out there that have a better job than I do. Today, one of them is our good friend Eric Boynton, lead sports writer for the Spartanburg Herald Journal. You can follow him on Twitter, Eric J. Boynton. And Eric, listen, you're down at the Heritage in Hilton Head, and it's one of the best fields we've seen at the Heritage in a while. You're talking, 13 of the top 21 finishers at the Masters last week, all making their way to Harbortown. I hope you're doing well, bud.
Yeah, Mark, really enjoying it. And we've got, 12 of the top 30 in the world rankings are here, including 4 of the top 9, 8 of the top 20. And, Jordan Spieth was the last commitment into the field, and he hasn't played here since 2015. And he played 3 years in a row, and that 2015 stint for Spieth was when he kept his commitment despite winning the Masters. And a lot of people figured he'd take the next week off. So to get a late commitment out of him and get him back here, even though he's having a lousy year and has fell in the rankings, he's not one of those guys currently ranked in the top 30, which is surprising. But he really adds some firepower, along with Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Matt Kuchar. So, yeah, wonderful field here, and these guys really seem to love this layout here.
And that's the thing. It's different. You know, you have the intensity of the first major of the year at Augusta National, and I think this is a perfect combination. Number two, some people take it off. So while it's the only PGA Tour event here in the state of South Carolina, there is a large contingent of Palmetto State players, former Clemson players, Dustin Johnson. I mean, it's almost like kind of a little bit of a Palmetto celebration, if you will.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's disappointing this year, guys, because, you know, three of the bigger names that people know in our state that have played very, very well at this event are not here. And it's surprising to have three guys in the game of golf injured, but we don't have Wesley Bryan, the former Gamecock All-American from Dutch Fork. He's the only guy from South Carolina to win the event a few years ago. He's out. William McGirt from Wofford, he said he had 3 top tens in 5 of his last starts here. He's out with a major, hip injury. And then Ben Martin, he has the highest finish ever for a Clemson player in the history of this tournament. He was tied for 3rd a couple of years ago, and he's always played well here. And Martin's been out forever, I believe, it's a shoulder. So you got 3 guys out. We did get the addition of 3 guys. We get the former South Carolina All-American Mark Anderson, Clemson great Jonathan Bird, and another former Clemson player, DJ Trahan, all were among the last sponsors exempts in. So we lost 3 state players, got 3 in, but imagine if those 3 guys I mentioned who were out, who always play well, man, then you're really talking a huge Palmetto party here.
And as we continue with Eric Boynton from the Spartanburg Herald Journal, follow him on Twitter, Eric J. Boynton. Right now, 1 person in at 6 under. I believe that's Steve Lowry. Shane Lowry is 6 under. Yep. It's S. Lowry here on the leaderboard. Thank you. Then there's a large group at -5 players, and even a bigger group at -4. So the course is holding up. But, Eric, what are they thinking about doing tomorrow? Because I understand there is a very good chance for poor weather, to say the least, in the Hilton Head area.
Yeah, I'm not sure what time the weather is going to come in. They haven't announced anything here yet, Sturge. I'll tell you what, man, and you guys have been down to the coast before at least one time, and sometimes it's after the rounds are over, but, man, I've seen some of the scariest storms. You know, they just have a makeshift tent on some of the partial the tennis courts here for the media. Man, that thing seems like it's about ready to come off its moorings at least once a year, and it's supposed to be high winds tomorrow, 100% chance of rain, although it says right now PM shot, you know, heavy rainstorm. So I don't know. I don't really know. They can't really do much as far as moving this thing up because, you know, it's not like a Saturday where we've already had the cut and then go from 2 sims to 3 sims, kind of like the Masters did this past Sunday. So they're really just kind of at the mercy of the weather tomorrow. They got to get on out here, hope they can get the majority of it in, and then if they have to come out and finish, you know, round three early Saturday morning and then go back out again and have a late finish Saturday, that's what they'll do. But their hands are kind of tied, you know, these first couple of rounds with a full field. There's really no room for maneuvering. I mean, the first group's off this morning, including Lucas Glover from Clemson, who played awful, one of his worst rounds ever out here at plus five. He was the first guy off, I believe it was 7:20 or 7:30. So not a lot of leeway to try to adjust for any poor weather that should come in tomorrow.
So who you been out on the course with today? Because like I said, there for a South Carolina sports writer, there are a lot of stories that you can follow down there. So, I mean, not to mention like Dustin Johnson or, you know, Xander Schauffele, who did so well last week. And you got a lot of different storylines right there on the 18 holes at Harbortown.
Yeah, you try to bounce around a little bit these first couple of days. You know, you kind of maybe put your eggs in one basket and kind of, you know, I like to get out here and get some color, and really try to follow some of these guys. And I followed Dustin Johnson a little bit here in the afternoon and then got back to start on some writing. But the two main stories I'm working on for tomorrow are Mark Anderson, who I mentioned earlier, the Buford resident and former Gamecock All-American. He's an interesting story. He's in on a sponsor's exemption. But he is on the web.com tour right now, and he played three events and he won the second event. Now that was his second career win after winning the BMW Thornblade a few years ago. And so, then he, tripped and fell while he was walking and he broke his ankle. So he's been out. Luckily it was an ankle that he broke in years ago, and it was something where, it kind of re-cracked the fracture. So he got a sponsor's exempt. This is his first time playing in a little over 2 months. And despite only playing three web.com tour events, he's still the leading money winner over there. So he's kind of an interesting topic, and then he's right on the cusp of earning a PGA Tour card already, despite having played only three web.com tour events. So I caught up with Mark, followed him around. He posted a plus two today, bogey the 17th on that windy par three there. And then also I followed Spieth around. I just thought it was interesting that he decided to come on out here after a three-year absence. And one of the main things that I asked him that I was curious about was, he hasn't played out here, and he's like many of the other superstars that, unfortunately, no matter where the course is or the tournament is, will take the week off after the Masters. It's almost like automatic. And I asked Spieth, because he's been playing very poorly this year, I said, did you decide late to come play this tournament because you haven't been playing well and you decided this is a course you've played well in all three appearances, that you wanted to maybe shake up your schedule, maybe come to a place where you've had, good success and maybe get some positive vibes going for your season? And he said, no, that wasn't the case. He said, he decided earlier in the year he had this on his schedule, although he waited to commit. And he said he just thought, I always play Harbortown well. I love the golf course. And the sole reason I haven't played it the last 3 years is because it's after the Masters. And I thought, I'm 25 years old. Why am I going to avoid a course that I play well on and that I enjoy playing just because it's the week after the Masters? So I thought that was a very interesting answer, because that's the strategy of most guys after a major. No matter what, they take it off. But it sounds like we may see Jordan Spieth here on a regular basis. And he birdied the last to shoot even par today. And I just thought he was an interesting story. And you got to kind of get some stories, Sturge kind of get some stuff moving early on, and then we'll kind of see how things progress here in the afternoon. We got Dustin Johnson coming down the stretch here. I think he's still at 3 under,
yep,
the last I checked. But Jordan Spieth and Mark Anderson were the main two that I was kind of looking at to get the week started here.
One guy that always plays is Roy Sabatini, and I always laugh because to me he's not the best Sabatini. It's still Gabriella Sabatini back in the day. And anytime that you could make reference to the term Sabatini is a good day in my book, Eric. So let me ask you this. Game of Thrones on Sunday night. How long did you sit down and watch it? Because you were about to lose your mind Sunday night with some of our friends in the media and that GOT. You know what I mean?
Well, I like to say that the only thing that the Game of Thrones fans are more passionate about than their show is people who don't watch their
Thank
show.
You.
It's just incredible. You know what they are, Sturge? I think they're like the sports equivalent of angry U.S. soccer guy. He just wants to sit there. He wants to sit there and tell you how great his sport is, and you're like, I think your sport's kind of boring. And then they blow up on you because you don't like their darn sport. Listen, I don't care if you like I'm a big Pulp Fiction fanatic. I could care less if you like my favorite movie. But these Game of Thrones people, and they don't realize the backlash is because they won't sit there and just watch their darn show. They have to pause it every 8 seconds and then flood your social media feeds with 150, you know, different tweets or posts per hour. It's like, you know what? You like your show, enjoy it afterwards. But I don't know why we have to have nonstop Game of Thrones.
Thank you.
You know what it was, though? I feel for them because the non-sports fans with the Tiger reaction, I'm sure, was just as annoying to non-golf fans having to listen to Tiger Woods stuff all Sunday. But the Game of Thrones thing's amusing. I love trolling those guys. And the weird thing is even friends of mine get angry. They don't sit. You know what? They won't take the trolling in stride and have give and take. They legitimately get mad because you don't like their show about wizards and dragons because you're 50 years old.
Well, Eric, you know, whether you like Game of Thrones or whether you don't like Game of Thrones, we can all admit that Breaking Bad was far superior, and it is the greatest drama ever in the history of U.S. television.
You know what? This is exactly my point, Diesel. I'm getting old now, but I mean, Breaking Bad was out during the time of Twitter, right? I mean, maybe at the beginnings of it. I don't recall, and you're exactly right, I would argue that Breaking Bad is the greatest show in the history. I have Sopranos up there, and I haven't quite had a chance to watch The Wire yet, but my family insists that it deserves to be up there as well. But I don't remember people like that you sat there and just like paused every 8 seconds of Breaking Bad so you could tweet out about what Bryan Cranston just said. No, people just sat, enjoyed the show. They might chatter about it afterwards. But this nonstop Game of Thrones thing, it's like, just enjoy your show and shut up and just kick your feet up and watch it. You don't have to sit there and live tweet. It's just it's incredible. I just don't remember any other show. But I think this is because it's the nerd show, and the nerds, you know, love their internet. So I guess. I don't know.
Hey, all I know is I have never seen a minute of a Game of Thrones episode, so you can call me a nerd, whatever, and I will happily take it, no doubt about it. All right, so...
Listen, I did watch once, like 5 minutes of it one time.
Never.
I will admit I am intrigued by the blonde girl with the big giant eyebrows that has the dragons. I could maybe try to maybe watch her character a little bit. If you could tell me exactly what parts of the show, I might give it a chance. Other than that, not interested.
All right. Before we let you go, again, you're down there, the Heritage, all weekend long. And, of course, everybody can follow you at Eric J. Boynton. Also, next Thursday, you'll be working, you got a lot of stories coming up on the NFL draft with Deebo Samuel being taken whenever he goes. But let me ask you this. You are a demented New England fan. You know, is there any doubt that the Bill Belichick and the Patriots are taking one, if not two, possible tight ends?
Hard to tell. I mean, I think all this talk about like Hockenson, going eighth overall, and Fant, the other Iowa tight end, going early. I mean, I think the Patriots do need to get a tight end. I'd love to have him. What's the guy? The guy from Texas A&M.
Yes.
Sternberger. Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah. I think that guy's a tremendous talent. I think he's maybe a little light as far as a blocker, but as a pass catcher, he's great. You don't see a lot of talk about him being a first two-round guy, and I know Irv Smith from Alabama is getting a lot of talk, but I don't know that those two Iowa tight ends are going to be like gone in the first 12 to 15 picks. I think they're easily mid first rounders. I don't think they'll be there when the Pats are taking it. I think the Pats will probably wait if they can get Sternberger like maybe with one of their second round picks or something like that. I would assume that's the way to go. But that certainly is a huge position of need. And like you said, I could see them taking multiple guys and trying to get back to that multiple tight end set they love, because they lost obviously Gronk and former Clemson tight end Dwayne Allen, who surprised, shocking to me, Sturge. I don't know how this guy Sturge never got involved in New England's passing game at all. They just never tried to involve him, and he had some great years with the Colts catching the football, but he did a great job blocking for New England and earned himself another paycheck with another team. So I think you're right, but this is going to be an exciting draft. I think there's more drama around this guy this year, as far as we still don't know if the Cardinals are taking Murray number one or not. I don't think. I wouldn't surprise me if they went one way or the other.
Yeah.
I wouldn't either. I'm hoping that if they do that, the Patriots, package together some picks and get Rosen. I like Rosen a lot. I think he's got a great future. But a lot of drama coming around here.
Well, I'm gonna be honest. It's good to hear some giddy up in your voice, and I'm glad you're down there and getting through all that. And Jay Reiner gets in, says, "Tell your buddy Eric that the blonde on Game of Thrones has a bunch of naked scenes. Laugh out loud." So you've already been at Ship Your Car.
But you got to watch a lot of episodes with naked dudes in there too. So you got it's just it's equal opportunity nudity in that show.
All right. Well, listen, Eric, again,
all of the dragons are naked.
Yeah, we'll get together when you get back. But listen, go cover that. Go have a great tournament. Cover it. Enjoy being down in Hilton Head because you deserved it, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it. Just to let Diesel know, I've actually dated a naked dragon once or twice over the course of my lifetime, just to have you know that.
Well, you just went up in my book.
I won't reveal her name.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Enjoy it. And we challenge our listeners. Go find you at Eric J. Boynton on Twitter. A lot of great stories coming up from South Carolina's only PGA Tour event, the Heritage, down in Hilton Head. All right. When we come back, you can give us a call at 844-GSP-ESPN. Why? The NCAA's at it again. You know, when North Carolina can get away with what they do for all this time and fight it up front, you know that they're going to come, the NCAA is going to come slug somebody else. And guess what? It happened yesterday afternoon. And it's over a books violation. You're not going to believe this story. You know, one thing that we've been fairly consistent with, Diesel, over our 3 years of working together here on Straight Up with Sturge is every time North Carolina gets away with somebody with something, somebody else pays the price. Is that a fair way of looking at it when it comes to the NCAA?
North Carolina is the evil empire.
And guess what? You know, they've proven, go fight the NCAA. What are they going to do? And nothing's happened over, two decades when it comes to that stuff. But check this one. This is why the NCAA can't get out of their own way. The NCAA has placed Cal Poly. Yeah, California Polytechnical Institute. Cal Poly. There's a football powerhouse. The NCAA has placed Cal Poly on 2 years probation and will force the school to vacate regular season and conference tournament records in most of its sports programs after an investigation concluded the school did not properly monitor its book scholarship program. Okay, Cal Poly found out that they were giving stipends of $800 that was intended for books and supplies to their student athletes. It turned out that was a little bit too much money. It resulted their own findings in turning this into the NCAA. They found 30 student athletes exceeded their financial aid limits by an average of $174.57.
Whoa, big money.
Overages ranged from $5 $700. Now, $700 might be an issue, but it goes on to say, Cal Poly became aware its process for distributing the book stipends did not follow NCAA rules while at a big West Conference financial aid summit back in 2015, which led the school to hire an outside agency to review its financial aid practices and eventually self-report the error to the NCAA enforcement staff.
It would appear they did everything right.
And yet they get hammered.
Yep, of course they do. Yeah, UNC can cheat for 30-plus years to keep their players eligible, but because one or two other students who are not athletes were also involved in the same classes, it was not strictly an athletic benefit.
I mean, come on. These are books, all right? Now, if you've seen Last Chance U, you know you can also what's the reason for trying to do the right thing? You realized you weren't doing things correctly. It's not like these were, you know, one of the cases was $5. $5. and the NCAA comes hammer them. But you can go fight this stuff. I mean, at this point, just get rid of it. Now, Cal Poly fields 20 NCAA-affiliated teams, competes primarily in the Big West. Its football program plays in the Big Sky Conference as part of the FCS. So, again, not picking on North Carolina fans. I'm picking on the fact that North Carolina had a systematic
academic fraud
for two decades. For two decades. Nothing ever happens to them, but they're going to come hammer Cal Poly. They're going to come hammer Charleston Southern when it comes to their bookstore. The NCAA is a sham. It's a joke. You can go out there and you can cheat and cheat and cheat, and they'll come check it out if somebody does your work. Why? Why would you want to go self-report these violations anymore? You not only did the NCAA's investigative work, you went and told them, hey, we messed up. Here's why. It wasn't intentional. Cal Poly gets hammered. So, again, this is, there's a lot of people out there that could have problems with this when all's come and gone. But, you know, of all the things to get hammered on, the bookstore, kind of interesting, no doubt about it. I just, like I said, I'd love to know what John Swofford has on the NCAA, because I am 100% convinced he has been that buffer as commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference and a former North Carolina football player and athletic director. He has been the buffer between the NCAA and North Carolina, and when his career comes to an end here in the next couple of years, I wonder if that's going to continue or not. But watch out, Cal Poly. You're in trouble. You're a bad guy. You're a bad school. You're a bunch of cheaters. So let's go hammer you. But my favorite thing is, Diesel, of course, it's always that punishment of, hey, forget, vacate wins. Forget this ever happened. Is that even a punishment? What it does is it punishes the coaches because they can't put those wins or losses on their all-time record, things of that nature. But outside of that, I don't see that being a punishment. I don't see that being anything that would dissuade you from wanting to go push the envelope when it comes to rules, because we know NCAA athletics is like NASCAR. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, ultimately, it's just a blemish on the coach's record as he moves forward. Oh, you were involved with that cheating scandal at so-and-so school. You must be a bad guy. We're not going to look at you anymore.
So, hey, by the way, we made fun of UCLA and their coaching search. As soon as you make fun of somebody, guess what? Someone else comes along and says, hold my beer. St. John's. John Rothstein, who I think the world of, is reporting that now Paul Hewitt has emerged as a candidate for the head coaching vacancy at St. John's. You may recognize that name. He's a former Georgia Tech head coach. He also was let go by George Mason. He is currently a scout for the L.A. Clippers. He's not even a coach. You ain't got rid of Chris Mullen, who's gotten better year after year after year. He finally makes the NCAA tournament this year. You go out there, you try to hire Bobby Hurley. He won't leave Arizona State. And now you're down to Paul Hewitt? I'm telling you, athletic directors, have a plan before you go do something, because once these coaching searches get into the public limelight, things go wrong. And you're going to convince me as a fan base, if you're a St. John's fan, you're going to convince me that this guy's going to be more favorable to your fan base than Chris Mullen, maybe the best player in your history, was? I mean, there's a guy at Iona in Cruz that they should hire. Or, Porter Moses, the head coach at Loyola, he turned him down the other day and wouldn't take the St. John's job. So when you're getting publicly turned down like this and you don't have a plan, you know what? For an athletic director, in my opinion, it's a fireable offense. We go through this once a year. Who are your five coaches that you have in your front pocket as an athletic director? Because I've been told over and over and over again, every good athletic director has a list of five potential coaches for every sport that they play, because you don't know when you, A, have to fire somebody, B, they decide to take another job. But St. John's getting to Paul Hewitt, who is not even a head coach anymore, Man, oh man, I tell you what, UCLA and getting Mick Cronin, you look a whole lot better in how you got it done. But still, what a mess. What a mess. All right. When we come back, got some more stories to get into. The NBA playoffs. We're going to talk crazy with Crazy Charlie from the Nashville Predators in the final segment this hour. Diesel, I just found out. I just got an email that they moved the time of that hockey game on Saturday in Nashville from night to 2 p.m. I wanted to be there at nighttime, but we'll be able to go down and see Crazy Charlie at the Omni for his broadcast, then make our way over to Bridgestone Arena. So, and then at 6:20, it's our buddy Landon Powell, the head baseball coach at North Greenville, the former South Carolina Gamecock. And remember, 90 minutes tomorrow, it'll be Diesel and Patrick Brown leading you as I'm going on my first college visit. Not for me, for my daughter. Man, how life changes. When we come back, 844-GSP-ESPN, we'll take a look at what's going on in the NBA, college baseball, but most importantly, Diesel, a professional gambler, absolutely lighting it up on Jeopardy. Professional sports gambler James Holzhauer is continuing to make history. Diesel, some people are just better than us. This guy has already held the biggest single night earnings in Jeopardy history. And then he just did it even. He one-upped himself. Last week, he set a one-day record when he finished the final round of Jeopardy with $110,914. Not for the week, for one show, Diesel. He topped that off the other day, $131,000 in a single game of Jeopardy. He hit his buzzer 41 times. He was 41 for 41 in his answers. As a matter of fact, it's the highest anybody's ever done, but in just 10 nights, he's made over a million. Do you know how much the highest winner in Jeopardy history has won during their run? You think it's more than $1.5 million? Back in 2004, a dude by the name of Ken Jennings, won 74 games in a row on Jeopardy. During that time, took home a little over $2.25 million. Not bad for a game show, you know what I mean? What would you do at this point? You're a professional sports gambler. At this point, I'd leave the gambling alone, you know what I mean? Or start, you know, giving Alex Trebek advice, things on that, you know? I don't know. But that is a lot of freaking money to win in one day. Golly. You know, 41 for 41. We don't talk about perfection that much when it comes to this show. But that's about as perfect as you can get. So don't forget, you got college baseball going on this weekend. Clemson hosting a big three-game set with the Duke Blue Devils, and guess what? They need it. They need to get back in the win column as they took a sweep at the hands of the Florida State Seminoles this past weekend. South Carolina, on the other hand, they'll be hosting Texas A&M down at Founders Park, and just like Clemson, they need wins as well. South Carolina, they need to get into the SEC tournament just simply in fact that they have a chance to potentially make the NCAA tournament, because I think it's going to be problematic for Mark Kingston of the Gamecocks if he can't get this thing turned around quicker than what's going on right now, because apathy setting in. You know, South Carolina baseball fans think very, very highly of themselves, as they should. They got one of the three best facilities in all of college baseball with Founders Park. You got back-to-back national championships. You played 2 out of 3 years for championships. So I think this is a big weekend for Mark Kingston and the Gamecocks, with Texas A&M coming in, who is actually in second place out in the Western Division. So again, you know, college baseball, we're actually past the halfway point now, and we'll be into conference tournaments and the NCAA tournaments in just a matter of 3 or 4 weeks right now. As a matter of fact, North Greenville, we'll talk with Landon Powell here at 6:20. They're already in like the final weekend, final week and a half of their regular season before they get going tournament-wise. So, of course, they're ranked, and we'll talk with Landon Powell about that. When it comes to the Atlantic Coast Conference in baseball, like I said, Clemson now looking up at Louisville, who they actually took care of, NC State. And of course, right now would be the time that the website decides to upload and refresh itself. But again, losing three games to Florida State last weekend, that was tough on Monty Lee and the Clemson Tigers. But speaking of tough, all right, so here it is. Louisville leads the Atlantic Division at 13-5. NC State's one game behind at 12-6. Clemson's a game behind that at 11-7. Florida State back there, one game behind them at 10-8. When you look at the Coastal Division, Georgia Tech's 11-7. North Carolina and Miami are both 10-8. So again, we are getting to the back end of this season. But what is just beginning, we're in the first round of the NHL playoffs. So Saturday at 2 p.m., just found out they moved the game from Saturday night to 2 p.m. I'm going to see my first NHL playoff hockey game, and I can't wait. I have had people tell me this is something that should be on your bucket list for a long, long time. So when we come back, Diesel, we're going to go over to Nashville and talk with our buddy Crazy Charlie. Now, Crazy Charlie's been on the show before, and he is exactly what he is. He's crazy, and he hosts a pregame show for the Nashville Predators. So we're going to find out what Sturge and his daughter should do when it comes to getting prepared for the Nashville Predators hockey game on Saturday, because I think them and the Dallas Stars, they're tied up two games apiece right now. Columbus Blue Jackets, they've already pulled the upset and knocked off the number one seed in the East, the Tampa Bay Lightning. So a lot of different things going on in hockey. It's going to be fun, because I just saw a t-shirt pop up that I just want to go online and order right now. It says, Ogie is my homeboy. I don't know if you remember the name Ogie Oglethorp. If you've ever seen the movie Slapshot, you will know who Ogie Oglethorp is. I think that would be a whole lot of fun. So Crazy Charlie from the 615 is going to join us when we come back. And then in the final hour, we'll have open phones, Landon Powell, and a whole lot more. All right, welcome back in. Listen, I'm flying out first thing in the morning to Nashville, and one of the things we're going to do on Saturday is we're taking in a NHL playoff game, the Dallas Stars and the Nashville Predators. I'm going to get to hang out with Predneck Nation. It's our buddy Crazy Charlie. You can follow him on Twitter, at CC Charlie. How are things going on over in Nashville, man? Because get me ready for Saturday. I have been told over and over again, put a NHL playoff game on your bucket list, and I am so excited to come over and see it.
I'm really pumped for you. You picked the perfect time to come. The bad weather that's coming through tonight, you're going to fly right over top of it, and it'll be gone and out of your way over there into the Carolinas. So it should warm up. It should be a beautiful day here tomorrow, first of all, because that's important when you're going to an event. That part of it's going to be outdoors. Bridgestone Arena is a hopping place, man. Game 5, a tied series, first round of the playoffs. It's going to be hot. National TV here in Nashville. It's going to be a good time. I think you picked a really, really smart game to come to. This Dallas Stars-Nashville Predators series so far, it's been physically intense. It's been very close. And you want the drama. So right now, you've got the home team just a little bit on their heels and the fan base feeling a little sense of insecurity this morning after that blowout loss last night. So I think you're coming on a good day where you're going to catch a raw fan base, and if the home team does well, you're going to get to see one hell of an event here in Nashville tomorrow.
Yeah, because, again, it's a 2 p.m. I just got the email that they had moved that up for television, because you're talking about an NHL playoffs right now in which you've seen a historic upset, a number one seed Tampa Bay go down to the 8 seed, and we've also seen what the Islanders sweep the Penguins. So one of the most competitive series is the Predators and the Dallas Stars, and You know, give me an idea. Is this a physical game that these two teams play? Because as much as I follow hockey, I've never seen Ovechkin get in a fight. But guess what? The other night, he proved that he can actually get things handled with his fists as well.
Ovechkin can rock him and sock him if you ask him to at any point in time. And you mentioned competitiveness, the top 16 teams in the league, but is anybody truly a 16 when the Columbus Blue Jackets sweep the number one team overall? You're also talking about a division leader in the Calgary Flames out west. I know it's real late, but they're also down 3-2 and 8 seed. And you're talking about the Nashville Predators, a division winner in the Central Division, being tied with another wild card team. So just winning your division is no guarantee anymore in the NHL. And you mentioned physical play. In Game 3, the Dallas Stars had 42 hits against the Nashville Predators. They had 31 hits in Game 4. The Preds had 23 and 25. These were the most physical of the two games at this point in time. And no doubt, as pressure continues to build, as frustration sets in, and we all know, game by game in a seven-game series, the intensity always amplifies. I expect with that crowd calling for blood tomorrow on national TV, you're going to see one very, very physical hockey game. These two teams, division rivals, they don't like each other. First time they've ever played in the playoffs. And don't forget, it's off on the horizon, and it's a regular season game. But these two teams will meet at the Cotton Bowl in the Winter Classic on New Year's Day next year. So a lot of things going on between these two teams. And I think you'll see a very physical Game 5 because that's the way the Dallas Stars have to play it. Tight, physical checking, and good defense to try to slow down the Predators from making rushes up the ice and getting through the neutral zone clean. And that's been the difference in the series so far. Dallas playing very physical and taking advantage of the special teams.
Well, we're talking with Crazy Charlie at Crazy Charlie 615. Also, host a pregame show. You're going to be going, 10 to noon from the Omni there in downtown. My daughter and I are going to come by and see you. So, you know, you and I share something. I'm a good Southern redneck. There's no other way. You are just a good, crazy Middle Tennessean. I did some color for our local Swamp Rabbits hockey team, our minor league hockey team this year.
Sir.
How did you learn to do a pregame show for hockey in Nashville, Tennessee? Because you probably had to teach some of your listeners what was going on.
This may come as one of the more shocking developments, but this pregame show of Predneck Nation Radio developed right there in Greenville, South Carolina.
Wow.
When I was talking Greenville Growl Hockey in the ECHL, covering the 2001 Kelly Cup. That's right, Simone Gamache should live forever as a Greenville sports legend for what he accomplished in winning the Kelly Cup. The only unfortunate thing, it wasn't done on home ice, and not that many people were aware. But that's where it all started. I went to Clemson University until 2001. I started covering hockey while I was in school, and then I moved out here to Nashville, Tennessee, because I figured there's no way those guys over in Middle Tennessee know anything about hockey, so I'm going to go out there, kick the door in, and take over. And that's exactly what the Renegades of Puck have done out here. Nashville, Tennessee is a hockey hotbed. You'll see it for yourself when you come out here, so I won't bore you with all the details, but it's a very intense hockey town right now. And to be honest with you, with the NFL draft just a week away and just down the street, you'll get a great look at the stage while you're here in town. Right now, if the Predators can find a way to advance the second round, you're looking at competing events a weekend from now in Nashville, where, of course, the NFL draft is king. There'll be over 300,000 people because it's a free event. It's outdoors. It's on Broadway. And we know how to handle those types of events. But the Nashville Predators might also be hosting a second-round playoff game. And that would be incredible. Just a couple years ago when the Preds were in the finals, you know, 60,000 people watching live outside on Broadway on TV screens on 100-something degree asphalt. So you're coming to town at one heck of a good time. The sports scene right now is good. The weather's going to be beautiful, and we can't wait to welcome you. We're a world-class hospitality and entertainment city. And from Greenville, South Carolina, straight here to Nashville, I'm ready to have you guys.
All right, Charlie, if not Nashville, because we know that's who you want to win this whole thing, who do you see outside of Nashville having the best chance to take this whole cup?
Well, it's all about momentum. And don't forget, just a few years ago, the LA Kings came in, barely squeaked in the playoffs as an 8 seed, and went on and just ran over the entire tournament, winning the Stanley Cup with ease, beating the New York Rangers in the finals in 6 games. They didn't even have a competitive series until the Western Conference Final. The Columbus Blue Jackets pushed all their chips in at the trade deadline. They even risked keeping a bunch of prospects and players they could have traded that will be probably leaving the organization after this season. So no return on those players unless, of course, they make this run and win the Stanley Cup. It's wide open right now. Last year, Stanley Cup winning coach Barry Trotz has the Islanders. I know him well. He's got that team primed and ready, and after sweeping the Penguins, It's wide open right there. I anticipate one of those two teams coming out of the East, and the Vegas Golden Knights made it all the way to a Stanley Cup final last year and then went and added three more top six players to their offense. They are deadly, and they are making a Sharks team that is very good and loaded up this year for this situation look very bad in the first round. I would not be shocked at all if we have a Columbus Blue Jackets, Las Vegas Golden Knights Stanley Cup final. Crazy, I know, but we've seen stranger things out there in the sports world.
All right, listen, I know you got some people excited here in the upstate talking about Predneck Nation and the hockey. How can people check out your pregame broadcast 10 a.m. to noon there locally, which would be 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. with my University of Alabama education right here in the upstate of South Carolina? How can people find you, listen to that? Because I'm telling you, just I'm now pumped up to get over there and check all this out on Saturday.
Man, I can't say thanks enough for letting me get a plug in at Predneck Nation on Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. If you ever wanted to find the archive, SoundCloud, iTunes, just Predneck Nation. Nice, easy to remember, and my radio show is fantastic. Look, we've all got access to the same box scores, the same numbers, the same video, but there's not anybody else that delivers the presentation the way I do. Jump in the trench with the Renegades of Puck, get all fired up, and I'll drop this last nugget on you on your way out the door. The Predators are 3-1 under head coach Peter Laviolette in the last 5 years in Game 5. The only one they lost was last year in Round 2. Again, you have chosen one heck of a Saturday afternoon to come spend in the Music City, and I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Well, listen, do we know what color T-shirt that we have to wear on Saturday? I noticed last week when they were at home, it was all yellow for the fans. So is there anything that, yeah, I don't want my daughter and I to look like the South Carolina Rednecks standing out in Nashville.
Well, first of all, don't use the word yellow again. It's Predators gold. For some reason, the ownership, even though you and I will not argue one bit, those shirts are yellow, mm-hmm. The color is yellow, but the team calls it gold, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you, they call it gold, and if you need some T-shirts, you need whatever, we'll take care of you when you get here. We'll make sure you're all straightened out for the game. You won't have any problem. When you come see me at the Omni on Saturday, you'll be just a half block away from Bridgestone Arena. Once we're done hanging out, eating that biscuit bar, we'll send you over to the Plaza Party. It'll be perfect timing. I think you're going to have a wonderful day coming out here. And I agree with what you said earlier. A playoff game in the NHL should be on everyone's sports bucket list. It truly is one of the most intense, emotional, and fun 3 hours you can spend watching sports.
All right, man. Can't wait to see you on Saturday. And by the way, we know about that color thing. Remember, you went to Clemson. It's burnt orange and northwest purple when it comes to the official colors. Thanks, Crazy Charlie. Can't wait to see you on Saturday. And let's go, Predneck Nation.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much. And I'm happy to come on anytime and talk puck with you.
All right. There we go. There's Crazy Charlie with the Nashville Predators. And listen, go follow them online at CC Crazy Charlie 615 at Predneck Nation. Because, Diesel, you got to admit, I'm now a little pumped up to get down there and see this. You know what I mean? I have been to NHL games. I have never been to a playoff game. And they just said, everybody that I've talked to just said it is amped up just one more level. But guess what? We know where the Carolina Panthers are going to be playing on October 13th. They're going to be playing in London, England. What about the rest of the schedule? Well, the NFL put it out yesterday. We'll take a look at the Panthers' schedule when we come back. You can get in with us at 844-GSP-ESPN. Talking with Landon Powell, head coach of the North Greenville baseball team at 620. Their season's coming to an end. Final hour coming up. Remember, Diesel and Patrick Brown have you covered from 4 to 5:30 tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.